ladies and gentlemen, recording from Los Angeles, California. Welcome to another edition of the one and only podcast known to the world as Sean's Sports Stop, where Sean Teplitsky gives his unique opinion on the biggest news stories in sports.
On today's episode of Sean's Sports Stop, by the way, this is episode number 202, or that could be 201, one of those two, but that really doesn't matter. It's all technicality. It's either 201 or 202. I'll check and I'll get back to you on that. Anyway, on today's episode, I'll be covering the biggest news stories in sports as per usual. That includes Manchester United firing Jose Mourinho, James Harden discussing how he travels, the Boston Celtics possibly trading for Anthony Davis, some NBA teams practicing with the four-point line, the Los Angeles Lakers and Philadelphia 76ers possibly signing Carmelo Anthony, Duke destroying Princeton in college basketball, Kyrie Irving defending rival Stephen Curry, Matt Harvey signing with a new team, Adam Silver saying that he thinks the Phoenix Suns will stay in Phoenix, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from the Los Angeles Lakers, my hometown team, being targeted by the Houston Rockets, and obviously I'm going to cover the news results and future matchups with the LA sports teams. But before I dive into that, I want to say that every episode of my podcast is available on every podcast platform that includes iTunes and Spotify. And please help out any way you can, leaving a 5-star review on iTunes, subscribing on iTunes, following on Spotify, check out my website on seansportsstop.com. All of those things really do go a long way, even though it doesn't seem like much for you guys to do. It really does help me out, truly. And the last thing I want to say before I get down to the juicy part of this episode is check out my friends over at Crimson IT. They are a Los Angeles-based managed IT services company that specializes in ultra-reliable and highly secure IT services for the small and medium-sized companies. If you would like to see if any of your company email passwords have been stolen on the internet, reach out to them. And for listeners of my podcast, since I love you guys so much, they will run a free scan on the dark web for any information related to your company that has been leaked, stolen, or sold. Crimson IT can be reached at 310-838-3700 or crimsonit.com. So with that being said, without further ado, let's get down to it. The biggest news stories in sports from Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. First one, as I said, has to do with European soccer. Manchester United have fired their manager. Huge news. They confirmed the departure of manager Jose Mourinho on Tuesday, which was today, after the 3-1 loss against Liverpool in the Premier League on Sunday. The Red Devils announced the decision to part ways with the 55-year-old on their official website and via Twitter. A statement read, quote, Manchester United announces that manager Jose Mourinho has left the club with immediate effect. The club would like to thank Jose for his work during his time at Manchester United and to wish him success in the future. A new caretaker manager will be appointed until the end of the current season while the club conducts a thorough recruitment process for a new full-time manager. Mourinho, who was given a 2-year contract extension in January, leaves United 6th in the Premier League table after 17 games. They are 19 points behind league leaders Liverpool and have picked up only 7 wins on the season. The decision means a new man will be in charge for the remainder of the season, starting with the trip to Cardiff City in the Premier League on Saturday. The Red Devils are looking to keep in touch with the top four in the table and progress in the UEFA Champions League. They play French giants PSG, which is going to be an extremely tough match, in the round of 16 after the draw on Monday. Mourinho started life at Old Trafford in reasonably strong fashion, winning the UEFA Europa League and EFL Cup in his first season. Despite finishing 6th in the Premier League that year, a place lower than they achieved in Louis van Gaal's final season, they had improved on their performance by earning 3 more points. Last season, United gained a further 12 points to finish 2nd on 81, albeit they were still 19 behind champions Manchester City with a goal difference of 40. They also reached the FA Cup final but lost to Chelsea. So I think this was the right move. I think as a fan of Manchester United and someone that follows the team, I think in order for Manchester United to reach success, they should have either sold Paul Pogba from the team or sacked, which is the term for fired their manager Jose Mourinho, and they did one of those two. I think that's going to lead to future success. There were reports already came out that Paul Pogba was high-fiving other players after the news came out that Jose was fired. You would think it would have a positive effect on the team, and I just hope it will. Switching gears now to the NBA, Rockets guard James Harden acknowledged Monday that he may have gotten away with a travel late in Houston's 102-97 win over the Utah Jazz. With the Rockets leading 97-94 and just 54.6 seconds left, he shuffled his feet on a step-back three that resulted in a foul on Ricky Rubio. According to ESPN.com's Tim McMahon, Harden was asked about the play after the game and responded, quote, "What do you want me to say? Tell on myself?" The NBA referee's Twitter account admitted to missing the call. Harden made two of the three free throws to put the game away. The reigning MVP finished with a game-high 47 points to go with 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals, as Houston improved to 15-14 after a worrisome start to the season. While Rubio stopped short of criticizing the officiating, he said, quote, "You watch the play. What do you think? I'm not going to answer, but I think 100% of the people know the answer." Utah sits 14th in the Western Conference, at also a disappointing 14-17. These teams played each other in last year's playoffs, so they were both very good teams in the loaded Western Conference. They both started, both had very disappointing starts. Meanwhile, the Rockets are rebounding from the rough start, as I said, with 4 straight wins, and they're now 10th in the West. Officiating has been a hot-button issue surrounding Harden recently. The Los Angeles Lakers expressed frustration last week, and LeBron James even defended with his hands behind his back at one point to avoid getting called for a foul during a 126-111 loss. So, you know, my take on this, I have huge respect for James Harden for the way he's able to draw calls, initiate contact with players. But the problem with that is it's not a problem for him or the other team. It is a problem for the other team because it benefits James Harden and the Houston Rockets. But the problem for the fans and the consumer like me and you who's listening to this, if you follow the NBA, is it's just extremely boring. I mean, he does the same move every time, the step back to his left, the fadeaway three, and he gets fouled, he initiates contact, he probably misses the shot, and he shoots 3 free throws. I mean, basketball is usually a very exciting sport, so you expect a high-tempo, fast-paced game, and that just slows the game down so much. It gets extremely boring, but it's a good strategy. It's about how to win the game, and he's so efficient at that, so why not keep doing that? And oftentimes, it's also highly debated whether he usually travels on that move or not, and whether the referees purposely miss the calls or they just can't notice it. But in regards to this specific play against the Utah Jazz with Ricky Rubio in a such important time in the game, you know, 54 seconds left in the fourth quarter, I saw the video. Unfortunately, this is a podcast, so it's only audio. I can't show you the video. It's not a radio show or anything, or a TV show or anything like that. So I saw the video. I encourage you to check it out, too. He clearly traveled and, you know, got Houston the win. But it's the name of the game. It's sports. Not everything is always picked up. Transitioning now to another NBA story. If the New Orleans Pelicans shop Anthony Davis, don't be surprised if the Boston Celtics make a run at him. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Boston has long had interest in the 5-time All-Star. Quote, "Boston has been knowing Anthony Davis for years. Anthony Davis for years. They always hoped that it would be, whether it's the end of this season or the beginning of next before the trade deadline, that they would gather up all those assets, all those picks Danny Ainge has, young players, and they'd be the team to be able to get Anthony Davis. But now you have LA, and if they get shut out in free agency, they're going to have to take all their young players to try to use them to get Anthony Davis. The Celtics were routinely linked to the 6'10" forward prior to last season's deadline. The Athletic's Jay King also reported this December that Davis and Celtics guard Kyrie Irving, who was only signed through this season, have talked about the possibility of teaming up in Boston. The 25-year-old Davis, who was signed through the 2019-20 season, averaging 28 points, 12.5 rebounds, almost 5 assists, almost 3 blocks, and almost 2 steals a game, he will be eligible to sign a 5-year, $235 million Supermax extension next summer, but only with New Orleans. The 2012 number one pick switches representation to Clutch Sports in September. Clutch Sports, for those of you that do not know, also represents LeBron James, adding fuel to the Anthony Davis to Los Angeles rumors. Boston came within one game of the NBA Finals last season, despite injuries to both Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. They're clear two best players. Right now, it could be argued that Jason Tatum is better than Gordon Hayward because he's coming off a bad injury. Along with players on the current roster who could be attractive to the Pelicans, such as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the Celtics have future assets they could include as well. So as a Laker fan, there have been many rumors of the Lakers rejecting teams for all-star caliber players that want their young core. And I wholeheartedly agree with Magic Johnson's and Rob Pelinka's belief on that. Don't trade the young core. I've said this in the past on my podcast. The only person that I would, if I was them, the only person that I would trade for giving up the young core, you know, guys like Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, if I would touch any of those guys, it would be for Anthony Davis, LeBron James. You know, for all I care, you could trade the whole team. You could go LeBron James, Anthony Davis 2-on-5 against any team. Obviously, that's a joke. But, you know, when you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, when you have the opportunity to get LeBron and Anthony Davis on the same team, you focus on getting Anthony Davis first, and then you worry about building the team around those two guys, not the other way around. So anyway, switching gears to another NBA story. Lots of NBA news today. It's not uncommon for Golden State Warriors superstar Stephen Curry to pull up from the logo, but he's not the only one around the league trying to stretch the court. According to ESPN.com's Malika Andrews, the Philadelphia 76ers, Atlanta Hawks, Brooklyn Nets, Chicago Bulls, and Milwaukee Bucks are among the teams that have practiced with some variation of a, quote, four-point line. Quote, "We are all thieves," Philadelphia coach Brett Brown said. Per Andrews, "It is a copycat league. I look at it as a compliment that other people value that. Atlanta has painted a four-point line 5 feet behind the three-point line on his practice court. Conveniently, that approach fits the style of 2018 fifth overall pick Trae Young." Quote, "I would always try to extend my range farther and farther because I wasn't getting much taller," Young told Andrews. "The farther I shoot, people weren't expecting that." Through his first 29 games, Young is shooting 37.8% from the floor and 24.1% from three. But Atlanta's four-point line isn't only for shooting. For Hawks coach Lloyd Pierce, today's NBA is all about spreading out the defense, saying, quote, "Spacing changes the whole game. The four-point line has helped create space that might not have otherwise been available." Meanwhile, Young is averaging 7.2 assists this season. So I think, I'm a proponent of adding a four-point line to the NBA. That would make things a lot more interesting. A lot of games that would seem out of reach in certain situations with only, on one play, usually getting 3 points. Unless you get a four-point play, you get fouled on a three-point attempt, you make the three, and then you make the one free throw that comes with it, the end one on a three-point attempt. That's the only way you could get 4 points in one play, really. So adding a four-point line adds a whole new dimension and variable to the game. It's going to make it a lot more exciting. You can have guys like Trae Young, Steph Curry, possibly LaMelo Ball in the future just pull up from half court or the four-point line, wherever it's going to be located, a few feet behind the three-point line. Just score 4 points right off the bat. You have possible 5-point plays. That's going to be, it's safe to say they're going to be few and far between. But if you have, Stephen Curry just launch one from the 4-point line, a 4-pointer, how weird is it saying that? And he makes it, gets fouled in, and makes the free throw. It's going to be so exciting. And I can't say that I'm really hoping that they're going to do it, but I would definitely be an advocate of the NBA implementing a 4-point line. Switching gears to another NBA story, teams are apparently in no rush to trade for swingman Carmelo Anthony. According to Mark Stein of the New York Times, the Los Angeles Lakers and Philadelphia 76ers have both, quote, resisted the idea of acquiring him from the Houston Rockets. What's more, the Charlotte Hornets have also, quote, passed the date, even though Anthony is connected to owner Michael Jordan through the Jordan brand. Stein noted Anthony has not been with the Rockets since November 15th, and moving him would create approximately $2.6 million in luxury tax savings. Anthony is a future Hall of Famer, but he is 34 years old and coming off the worst stretch of his career from an individual productivity standpoint. He's averaging 13.5 points and half an assist a night in the 10 games that he played with Houston this season, which would both be career worst marks. What's more, he tallied career low totals of points at 16.2, field goal percentage at 40.4, and assist at 1.3 during the 2017-18 season with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he had Paul George and Russell Westbrook as teammates, who are both superstars in the NBA. Maybe not Paul George. Paul George is as close as it gets to a superstar when not being considered one. Houston's net rating was also an abysmal -9 when he was on the floor this season, per NBA.com. So perhaps it is not much of a surprise that contenders like the Lakers and 76ers aren't jumping at the chance to trade for him. But he is a 10-time All-Star and 6-time All-NBA selection who led the league in scoring in 2012-13, but any team trading for him isn't going to get that version. That said, he wouldn't be asked to serve as a primary offensive playmaker for either the Lakers or 76ers, thanks to the presence of guys like LeBron James, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball on the Lakers, and Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons on the 76ers. It's really tough. I don't think the Lakers should trade for him. I would be more upset than happy if they do, but I could see him fitting in well with LeBron and guys like Lonzo, Rajon Rondo, who will create opportunities for Carmelo to get good shots, nice looks. But, he had James Harden and Chris Paul in Houston. He had Paul George and Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City the last two seasons, and he's been, an average NBA player, but for Carmelo Anthony's standards, he's been horrible. I mean, that's just the way it is, and I think the Lakers are better off trading for someone or keeping Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or trading KCP, trading KCP to Houston for someone, maybe Eric Gordon. That would be nice. Maybe KCP in a pick for Eric Gordon or signing Austin Rivers, who was just traded. Oh, man, I forgot who was traded. Let me fact check this. I know Austin Rivers is currently a free agent. He was traded to the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, he was traded to the Phoenix Suns from the Washington Wizards in the Trevor Ariza trade that finally materialized after the whole fiasco. And so maybe, and then he cleared waivers with Phoenix, so maybe the Lakers can sign Austin Rivers. I would like that pickup. But anyway, switching gears to college basketball. The second-ranked Duke Blue Devils roll to a 101-50 win over the Princeton Tigers on Tuesday night at Cameron Indoor Stadium in Durham, North Carolina. Zion Williamson tallied 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks to help Duke move to 10-1 on the season, while fellow freshman sensation R.J. Barrett added 27 points and 6 rebounds in the blowout. The Princeton Tigers dropped to 5-5, having lost 3 of their past 4 games following a 4-2 start to the 2018-19 college basketball season. So honestly, all I have to say is an expected win for Duke. They dominated. They won by 51 points. And, you know, college basketball games are shorter than NBA games, so that makes it all the more impressive. And I think for this Duke basketball team, with how talented they are, Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, Trey Jones, the younger brother of NBA point guard Tyus Jones, I think if they don't win the national championship, it's championship or bust for the Duke Blue Devils. That's just, I think that's their mentality. And I think that's what not just Duke fans are kind of thinking or hope or expecting, but what just college basketball fans in general, sports fans are expecting, and I'm one of them. Switching gears back to the NBA, we took a little break, but we're back. Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry said last week on the Winging It podcast with Andre Iguodala, Vince Carter, Kent Bazemore, and Annie Finberg that he believed the moon landing was staged, comments he later apologized for making. But on Tuesday, Kyrie Irving, who previously perhaps trollingly said he subscribed to the theory that the world was flat or the earth was flat before walking those comments back, defended Stephen Curry, saying, quote, Curry says he doesn't believe in the moon. It's on CNN, and they say we're just jocks, we're just athletes, but it's on your channel. Irving said, per Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, we're thinkers, but you don't want us to be that, so whomever you is, I don't know what that mold is. That was one snippet from Irving's longer thoughts on the matter, according to Chris Granham of CLNS Media. As for Curry, he said last week that his comments were ingesting, quote, obviously I was joking when I was talking on the podcast, he told Nick Friedel of ESPN.com. Then I was silently protesting how stupid it was that people actually took that quote and made it law as, oh my god, he's a fake moon landing truther, whatever you want to call it, yada, yada, yada. So I was silently protesting that part about it, how the story took a life of its own. He also accepted an invitation to visit NASA and interviewed retired astronaut Scott Kelly on an Instagram live video, saying of his original remarks that he was, quote, honestly, genuinely sorry of how that came across, saying, quote, it was important for me to understand, one, the magnitude of things that I say in my comments and how much weight they carry, no matter if I'm joking or not, but totally honor that in every situation I put myself in, the sense of national pride in how that exploration for mankind has pushed boundaries and limits of what is possible, you know, pushed our imagination for what we can accomplish. I do not want to in any way, shape, or form demean the significant accomplishments that you and the people you work with on a daily basis make a reality. Curry's remarks blew up because they intersected several topical issues and talking points. You know, one is there's to be a growing distrust of science, leading to a proliferation of conspiracy theories being taken as fact from the idea that the Earth is flat or the moon landing was staged. Players like Irving and Curry, harmless and offhand as they might have felt their comments to be, aligned prominent public figures to those conspiracy theories, leading many people to side with them and believe them, which I think, you know, why would you joke? It's all fun and games, but, you know, these guys are public figures, so if they joke about something that they really don't themselves believe in, then you have kids that really don't understand science and don't know how things work, specifically in this case, that would believe them, and it just creates unnecessary problems. And if these comments are a joke by Kyrie and Steph, to me at least, it's not funny. With that said, switching gears to the MLB, Matt Harvey will reportedly have a new home in 2019. The former New York Mets and Cincinnati Reds pitcher is set to sign with the Los Angeles Angels, not the Dodgers, on a one-year deal per Mark Feinsend of MLB.com. According to Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports and John Heyman of FanCred, Harvey's deal could be worth as much as $14 million with a base salary of $11 million and up to $3 million in incentives. Harvey has had an interesting year. Last season, his performances and habit of popping up in the tabloids caused the Mets to designate him for assignment and eventually deal him to the Reds for catcher Devin Masarco. The Mets had experimented with Harvey as both a starter and reliever to no avail, as he went 0-2 with a 7 ERA, 1.56 whip. Whip means walks and hits per innings pitched, and 20 strikeouts in 27 innings. Cincinnati transitioned him back to the rotation where he was solid, finishing 7-7 with a 4.5 ERA, 1.25 whip, and 111 strikeouts in 128 innings. The 29-year-old looked to be one of the brightest young pitchers in baseball early in his career, playing in the 2013 All-Star Game and finishing fourth in NL Cy Young voting, but he missed the entire 2014 season after undergoing Tommy John surgery, and after a strong 2015 season, he exceeded his innings limit that postseason and has never been the same pitcher since. Wow, how unfortunate is that? So, just, you know, kind of overworked his arm, and now he hasn't been the same since. Extremely unfortunate, and I hope he finds success in Anaheim with the Angels. Switching gears back to the NBA. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he expects the Phoenix Suns to come to terms with the city of Phoenix to keep the franchise in its current location. During an appearance on the Bleacher Report's The Full 48 podcast with Howard Beck, Silver said he doesn't view relocation as a likely option, saying, quote, "My sense is they'll reach an agreement in Phoenix just as we've managed to do in our other cities. Phoenix has been a fantastic NBA city over the years. I can't imagine that team would end up leaving that market." Last week, a Phoenix council member told Lori Roberts of the Arizona Republic that the Suns owner Robert Sarver mentioned the possibility of moving the Suns amid discussions about whether the city would provide $150 million to help upgrade Talking Stick Resort Arena. Robert made news and then unmade the news, Silver told Beck, and subsequently he and others in his organization made absolutely clear that their 100% intention is to stay in Phoenix. The commissioner said, quote, "It would be a failure on my part if a team ended up moving out of a market," but he noted it's clear the Suns' home arena needs improvements, saying, quote, "I will say in Phoenix, in the case of their arena, it's the oldest arena now in the NBA that hasn't been either completely rebuilt or renovated, so there's no question the arena needs substantial investment." He also said, quote, this is very different than the stadium business for an arena in a major metropolitan city. Phoenix is in that category. Arenas are modern-day town halls. They're community centers, and the NBA is a fraction of the overall dates. So I think they're going to stay in Phoenix, and that's all I really have to say on that. Switching gears to another NBA story to close out the notable news section of this episode number 201 or 202, I forget. The Houston Rockets continue to search for help on the wing after failing to land Trevor Ariza, and the search has apparently turned to Los Angeles Lakers guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. According to Mark Stein of the New York Times, Caldwell-Pope is considered the team's, quote, top target on the trade block. Cleveland Cavaliers veteran J.R. Smith was also listed as a possible option for Houston. Perimeter depth has been a problem for the Rockets this season after losing Trevor Ariza to free agency in the offseason. While the team did sign Carmelo Anthony, as I said, to potentially fill the role, he has only played 10 games and then left the team. James Ennis and Gerald Green have played significant minutes at the three this year, but neither have been particularly impressive on the court. Caldwell Pope is averaging only 9 points a game, so we'll just have to see how this plays out. And I think it would be a good move for the Rockets. Caldwell Pope, I don't really like him on the Lakers, so I would be pretty happy if the Rockets trade for him. So switching gears now to the Los Angeles sports teams to close out this episode of Sean's Sports Talk. Starting with the Lakers. The Lakers played today and they lost on the road to the Brooklyn Nets 115-110. The Lakers fall to 18-13 and the Nets improved to 14-18. The Brooklyn Nets are the hottest team in the NBA with the longest win streak. The Lakers finished their road trip 1-3, the four-game road trip with one win and three losses. The Lakers have 2 days off and then they resume play at home on Friday, December 21st at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time against the New Orleans Pelicans. The game's going to be broadcasted on ESPN. Los Angeles Clippers did not play today. They play the day after tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time at home against the Dallas Mavericks. That game's going to be broadcasted nationally as well on TNT. Taking a look at the NBA standings, the LA Lakers are fourth in the Western Conference at 18-13, 6-4 in their last 10. They have lost 2 games in a row, and they're 3.5 games behind the first place Denver Nuggets, who are on fire. The Los Angeles Clippers are two spots behind the Lakers at 17-13, but they have lost 4 straight games after they were 17-9. The Clippers are four games behind the first place Denver Nuggets and only half a game behind the fourth place Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Rams did not play today. They play this Sunday, December 23rd at 1:05 p.m. Pacific time against the Arizona Cardinals on the road. Game's going to be broadcasted on Fox. Also, the Arizona Cardinals have claimed, the Los Angeles Rams have waived Farrell Cooper, the kick returner, and the Arizona Cardinals have claimed him, and the Los Angeles Rams have signed veteran running back CJ Anderson. Hopefully he'll bring success. He's very good with the Denver Broncos the year that they won the Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 50, so 2016. The Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, play this Saturday, not Sunday, December 22nd at 5:20 p.m. Pacific time against the Baltimore Ravens at home against the best defense in the NFL. The game's going to be broadcasted on NFL Network. The Los Angeles Kings played today and they got back in the win column with a 4-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets, improving to 12-20-3 on the season, while the good team Winnipeg Jets fall to 22-10-2. The LA Kings snapped a 4-game losing streak with the win, so a good win for the Kings. The Kings have many days off. They have 3 days off, and they play Saturday, December 22nd at 1 p.m. Pacific time against the San Jose Sharks in San Jose, California. The game's going to be broadcasted nationally on NBC Sportsnet as well. The Anaheim Ducks did play today as well. They lost 3-1 to the New York Rangers on the road, falling to 19-12-5 on the season, while the Rangers improved to 15-13-5. The Ducks will resume play the day after tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific time against the Boston Bruins on the road. And ladies and gentlemen, this is all we have for episode number 201, I'm going to say, of Sean Sports Up. I'm going to actually double check right here, see if this is to clarify this once and for all before I end the recording. So actually, this is episode number 202. This has been episode number 202, not episode 201. So just keep that in mind. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys in episode number 203, which will be recorded and published on Wednesday, December 19th, 2018. And until then, have a good one.